Good morning. Today we are beginning the last chapter of the Sermon on the Mount. And before we get into the text, I've got a couple quotes. Because today we're going to be talking about character. And as we talk about character, there's again a couple quotes I want to read. I'm going to give you the quote and the name. Not all of these are great philosophers. Some of them are. Many of them are Christians. Not all of them are. The first is from a very well-known Christian preacher, Charles Spurgeon. Some of you may have heard of him. He said, "A good character is the best tombstone. Those who loved you and were helped by you will remember you when forget-me-nots have withered. Carve your name on hearts, not on marble." The next quote, "Character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Only through experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, ambition inspired, and success achieved." Helen Keller. "When wealth is lost, nothing is lost. When health is lost, something is lost. When character is lost, all is lost." Billy Graham. "Character is like a tree and reputation like a shadow. The shadow is what we think of it. The tree is the real thing." Abraham Lincoln. "Knowledge will give you power, but character, respect." Bruce Lee. "Human greatness does not lie in wealth or power, but in character and goodness. People are just people, and all have faults and shortcomings, but all of us are born with a basic goodness." Anne Frank. One of my favorites here. "A man's character may be learned from the adjectives which he habitually uses in conversation." Mark Twain. And this one I made a slide for because I think this is such a good one. "Good character is not formed in a week or a month. It is created little by little, day by day. Protracted and patient effort is needed to develop good character." Heraclitus of Ephesus. I've got one more I'm going to share at the end, but today we're talking about character. Again, I mentioned that we're starting the seventh chapter of the Sermon on the Mount. So if you will, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Here's what Jesus says. "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." So we're talking about judgment. Jesus starts by saying, "Judge not that you be not judged." What is judgment? That word is something that we throw around a lot. Don't judge me. But what is judgment? And maybe more importantly, what is not judgment? You see, judgment can be deciding someone's character based on one action. You meet someone for the first time, maybe it's not their best hour, maybe it's not their best day, they mess up, and we judge their character based on one action. That is judgment. Judgment can also be knowing someone for a while They do one thing, maybe out of character. And then you say, you know what? You're a bad person because of this. Just one action. Judging their character, saying, you know, I've known you for a while, but now, because of one action, I've deemed you're not a good person. Judgment, as far as the Bible is concerned, talks about judgment day. Who is going where when eternity comes? Judgment could be harsh. I want to point out, though, judgment is not recognizing and pointing out sin. Judgment is what you do with the understanding that there is sin. Do I determine your character based on one action, or do I determine your character in spite of the action? And here's the interesting thing, because we say, do not judge, and Jesus says, judge not that you be not judged. Well, in John chapter 12, here's what Jesus has to say about himself. Jesus cried out, whoever believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me, sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as the light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who has sent me has given me a commandment, what I say and what I speak. And I know that his commandments is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. In our Bible class today, John chapter 3 was mentioned, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus doesn't judge. And we can look at other places. Woman caught in adultery, what happens? She's brought before Jesus, having been caught in the act of adultery. And all the people want to stone her and judge her for her actions. And Jesus' response is, whichever of you is without sin can be the first to throw a stone. And they all leave, starting with the oldest. And then what does Jesus do? Does he judge her? No. He says, where are they? Have any of them condemned you? And she says, no. He says, then I don't condemn you either. And he just leaves it at that, right? No. He points out the sin and he says, now go and leave your life of sin. He doesn't ignore the sinfulness. He points it out, but he is not condemning. You see, this is what we as Christians need to be. Jesus did not come to judge or condemn. He came to save and to be an example. So the question becomes, so how do we as Christians who have sin in our lives, how do we point out sin without judgment? How do we call people to repentance without being judgmental? That is tough, isn't it? Because we, as human beings, it seems are judgmental by nature, aren't we? It's very easy to judge. It's very easy to condemn. But we have to do it somehow. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. But being judgmental is so harmful. Because the problem is, none of us are perfect. None of us. And Jesus, he continues, he says, With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Essentially, you will be judged based on how you judge others. That's a little terrifying, isn't it? And this is not the only time in Scripture that Jesus connects how we treat other people with how God will treat us. Right after Jesus has told the parable of the unmerciful servant, remember that parable? Two servants owe a lot of money. One owes a lot to his master. The other owes a little to him. Master forgives his debt. He refuses to forgive the debt of the other servant. So the master has the first servant thrown in prison until he can pay off all of his debt, which is impossible to pay off. And Jesus ends that parable with this. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. How we judge others matters. And Jesus is very clear that how we judge others is how we will also be judged. One of the questions I've heard over and over, a statement I've heard about this over and over is, so does this mean that I can be a good person, that if I'm a good person and not judgmental, that God will not judge me? And my response to that is, you still need Jesus. No matter what, you need Jesus, because Jesus defines our character. I am not a good person. Jesus is good. And Jesus defines my character. When I try to live my life for Jesus, my character is good, not because I'm good, but because God is good, and because Jesus is good, and because Jesus can do good things through me. Jesus defines the character of his people. And Jesus he gives this parable, the speck in the eye and the log in your own. Isn't this the condition of humanity? We see the minor flaws in others, all the while we try to diminish our own flaws. And do you understand why hypocrisy is so damaging for Christians? It's because it ruins our witness. If our words and our actions don't line up, it ruins our witness to other people because they see flaws in our character. You see, if my words and my actions don't line up, I am untrustworthy. And if I'm untrustworthy, how can anyone believe anything that comes out of my mouth? This is why character is so important for Christians, is because our witness is so important. Because I am not giving you my words, I give you the words of God. And if you cannot believe the words of God coming out of my mouth, that might change the way you view the words of God. After all, how many people have walked away from their faith because of the hypocrisy of other Christians? How many people have questioned their faith, walking away from it completely because other Christians are so hypocritical, because their actions and their words do not line up? I've seen it so many times, sometimes because of ministers, sometimes because of elders, sometimes because of deacons, sometimes because of mothers and fathers or brothers and sisters. I've seen so many people walk away from their faith because of the hypocrisy of Christians. That's so sad. Number one, I find it sad that our hypocrisy can be that damaging to another human being, that they would decide to walk away from the creator of everything. I also find it sad at the same time that so often people build their faith on other people, not on Christ alone. Because our faith should be built on Christ, not on ministers or family members, on Christ alone. However, our witness, our testimony of the gospel of Christ, depends on our character. Not because the gospel depends on our character, but because the other people hearing it from our mouths will judge us by our character. And so we need to have good character. And as some of these quotes that I read earlier say, character is not developed easily. It's not developed in the easy times. It's developed in the hard times. It takes a long time to develop character sometimes. But we need to be people of good character. Again, this does not mean that the gospel is unreliable. It means that the way others see it changes based on how they perceive us. I pray to God that no one walks away from their faith because of a lack of character in me. Again, I'm not perfect. But there's a difference between having sin in your life and being hypocritical. You see, we cannot overlook our sin. And this is what that parable was all about. It was one person saying, hey, let me get this speck. You've got this tiny flaw in imperfection. Let me get rid of that for you. Meanwhile, there's this log, and I love the imagery here. There's this log coming out of your own eye. It's the idea that I'm overlooking so much sin in my life, but I'm focusing in on that little speck in yours. We can't do that. We cannot overlook our sin. But this parable is addressing our innate nature to scrutinize others for their sin while we minimize our own. And again, I honestly believe this is that sinful nature. We are just so willing to overlook our own sin and be so critical of others. We cannot diminish our sin. Instead, we must first work on eliminating sin from our lives. Only then can we work on helping other people with the sin in their lives. And the question becomes, do I have to be perfect to help others? No. But you can't be overlooking your own sin. First, you have to work on yourself before you can help others. This is the answer to that question of how can I point out sin without being judgmental? First, you have to look inward. You have to see that you have sin in your own life, and you have to be working on eliminating that sin from your own life. We will never be perfect, not until we reach heaven and are standing face to face with Christ. But if we are working on our sin first and trying to eliminate that from our lives, then I believe we can help other people. Sometimes we have to be open and honest about our own sin and our own struggles in order to help other people. You see, I can recognize that someone has sin in their life. And you know what? I can have that same sin in my life. And I can help them as long as I am trying to work on that sin in my life. Maybe that conversation goes this way. Hey, you know what? I see you're struggling with fill in the blank, whatever sin. I see you're struggling with this. You know what? I struggle with that too. Maybe we can help each other become better. Maybe we can help each other become more like Christ. Would you be interested in that? What a great way to build community, and what a great way to build accountability in that community. Hey, I'm struggling too. I could really use your help. Could you use mine? That is how we point out sin and help others with their sin without being judgmental, because we're pointing out, I struggle too. Jesus ends this section that we're going over today with verse 6, do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and attack you. What in the world does this verse have to do with what we've been looking at in the Sermon on the Mount? Doesn't it seem to just come out of nowhere? And I've seen so many explanations about what this verse might mean And I've seen everything. Oh, and some explanations of this verse I think are just awful. I believe that context is key. Remember, this is one sermon. The very first time we started the Sermon on the Mount, back in September, we read through the entire sermon all at once. And that's how this sermon is meant to be heard, is everything together in context. I think sometimes we do an injustice to the text when we separate it like we do. Because there is context here. You see, the last couple weeks we've been talking about how important it is for us as Christians to have our focus set on God. To have our focus set apart for God. That is the definition of holy, something that is set apart for God. Our focus needs to be set apart for God. Do not give dogs what is holy. Don't give that focus that is supposed to be on God to other men. Especially in context to their sin. That is not the point of being a Christian. The point of being a Christian is not to point out other people's sin. Will we see it? Yes. Should we point it out in the right way? Yes. But our gaze needs to be fixed on God. We must be fixed on God. Our gaze, our heavenly gaze, is holy. We have been set apart for Him. We are supposed to set apart our attention for God. We will see other people along the way, but we cannot be focused on that, especially not their sin. We have to be focused on God. And when we focus on God, we can address sin in a righteous and holy way that is not hypocritical, because again, we all struggle. When we judge others, we are taking our gaze off of the kingdom of God and focusing on others. Not just focusing on them, but focusing on sin. The part of them that they are probably the most ashamed about. And then we are condemning them because of their sin. That is, again, that is judgment. Condemning someone. Judging their character. Deciding they are bad people because of their sin. Again, the thing they are probably the most ashamed about. This is not a holy gaze. It is very unholy. And in context of all of this, yes, compared to God, we are dogs. We are pigs. Compared to God, there's really nothing good in here. Because only God is good. And when we judge others, our character will be attacked. Do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and attack you. If we are attacking other people's character, they will turn and attack us. We need to be focused on God. The last quote I want to end with is a quote by Charles Stanley. He says, "The time you spend alone with God will transform your character and increase your devotion. Then your integrity and godly behavior in an unbelieving world will make others long to know the Lord." This is the point. This is what the point that Jesus has been making in the Sermon on the Mount for the last couple passages we've gone over, is that when we are focused on the right thing, God, our life will be better because of it. Other people will see there's something different and they will long to know the Lord. I want other people to become people of faith because of my life and because of how I treat them and because of what my character looks like. I'm not good, but God is good. And I want other people to see the goodness of God lived out in my life. In order to do that, I have to have my focus in the right place. I have to have my focus set on God and on the godly things. It's not always easy. Praise God that He has given us a community of like-minded people. If we can help you in any way today, please come forward as we stand and sing.